Dr. Sultan Begna from New Mexico State University. Oh, and by the way, for those of you that just joined us after the break, if you need CCA credit, sign up. The sheet is here at the front of the room.
Yeah, back to Canola. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for taking the time to be here for this presentation. And my talking will be on canola in relation to plant density and row spacing, specifically on seed yield and water efficiency.
Is that spring canola or winter canola?
This is the winter canola. And these are the researchers who collaborated in this study. And these are the points. I will be talking during my presentation, starting with a brief introduction, followed by objective and the approaches we took to conduct this study, and also discuss the results of the study, and conclude my presentation with the highlights of the study. And as you know, canola is one of the most important oilseed crops. Actually, it's the third largest vegetable oil, used globally after palm and soybean oil. It's a source of food for humans as well as for animals, including, important insects such as, honeybee. And it can be also for industrial purpose, for biodiesel, and it is also used as lubricants, mostly for biodiesel in Europe. Once the oil is extracted, the leftover, which we call cake, is rich in nutrition. It is rich in proteins, and it's used as animal feed. As you know, in the southwest, we have a heavy concentration of dairy and beef industry, so which will be, a good market even for our producers there. Now cake is coming or imported from Canada. Most importantly, it's a very, or I should say, an excellent rotational crop which can bring multiple benefits for a region like the Southern Great Plains with a cereal-based cropping system is the dominant one. Wheat planted, year after year. Actually, in the early 80s, there was about 30 million acres of wheat, basically in mono cropping condition. So by bringing canola as making part of the cropping system, producer can, control wheat, especially those trouble weeds in wheat production. And it's also research has shown as a break crop, since it is a broadleaf type crop, which is totally different from the grass type crop. It can, help breaking the life cycle of pests and the disease. In fact, research has shown a yield increase in wheat when wheat follows canola. And also, research has shown it requires less water compared to canola. And canola is also more tolerant of environmental stresses, such as the one we have on this slide. As you can see here, these pictures are taken in 2009, early spring, and we had a very strong, snowstorm, and we had in this project winter wheat, winter canola, and winter safflower, and they were badly damaged, but a month later, as you can see on the slide, they recovered very well, especially, canola has recovered, well more than, winter wheat and winter safflower. And by having, canola, which is a broadleaf type crop with a taproot system, which not only, can get the leftover soil nutrients and soil moisture, it can also, help breaking the soil pan. So it can bring multiple benefits for the cropping system, such as the one we have in the southern Great Plains. And by having it as a part of the cropping system, again, it's one way of diversifying the cropping system of that region, and hence, you know, improving the economics and sustainability of the production system as a whole. And this is to show you which countries are the leading, you know, canola-producing countries. Of course, European Union involves multiple countries, but if we look at on a country basis, Canada is the leading canola producing country. And as you can see here, United States is not nowhere compared to, you know, those leading countries. But the production as well as the area dedicated to canola is increasing rapidly, even though the pace of increase is not as fast as enough to match with the demand for canola oil production. This is the domestic consumption of oil in the U.S. and production. So this tells us there is a good market for our growers to include canola as part of their cropping system. Given the price of wheat, actually, currently the price of wheat is below $4 for a bushel. It is almost the same as the price of wheat we had in the early 80s. So by having canola as part of the cropping system, also it's one way of diversifying, you know, the investment. The good thing with canola, growers are, you know, getting interested in trying canola. Even where I am, I come from eastern New Mexico. 5 years back, there was no canola production. Now we have about 5,000 acres. So, of course, based on our research, the optimum planting date is early September, but they also have questions regarding as which variety to plant, whether to plant hybrid or open pollinated. As you all know, hybrid costs, you know, more because of the technology involved in making the hybrid. And what plant density? This is the seeding rate, of course. And what about row spacing? Since this region, the southern Great Plain, is known for wheat, you know, production, so growers are, you know, familiar with wheat. Can they ask us whether they can use the drill they use for wheat for canola? So with those questions in mind, the objective of these studies to assess the effect of variety on yield and water use efficiency. And the second objective was to look at the effect of plant density and row spacing on yield and water use efficiency. And the study was conducted in eastern New Mexico. As you can see, it's happened to be in the Ogallala Aquifer region and Agricultural Science Center at Clovis. And the current study is conducted, it's underway. And the design we used was a split plot design with variety as the main plot, the main factor, and the plant density as the subplot and row spacing as the subplot factor. When it comes to variety, we have two varieties, Riley and Saffron. Riley is an open pollinated variety that has been developed by Kansas State University. Of course, a lot cheaper when it comes to seed cost. Saffron is a variety from a company called Rubisco. And the plant density, we have two densities, 75 and 100. Our target plant density, which is 100%, 400,000 plants per hectare for hybrid, twice of that for open pollinated. We have row spacing, two spacing, 25 and 50. As for wheat, it goes from 10 to 50 centimeter spacing. And in 2015, the crop was planted in early September, and 2016 in mid-September. This study was conducted under center pivot irrigation. Just a little bit here. And this is just to show you the different, you know, spacing and plant density. This is the 25 and 50. Of course, you would expect more open space with 50 and 75 plant density. And when we increase the plant density to 100, you can see, you know, less open space. The same with 50. We had few plots planted in 76 centimeters, which is very wide, and it stays open. Canopy never, you know, gets closed. This is to show you, you know, the soil moisture reading was done, you know, using the neutron probe. And the data collected on some of the important agronomic variables, just to go to the results, and there was no interaction between the three main factors, but variety affected the yield significantly. There was significant difference between the two varieties. If you look at the seed yield, there was more seed yield being produced by hybrids than open pollinated by 11%. And the same thing happened with the water use efficiency. As far as, you know, the two plant density goes, as you can see, no significant difference, but you can see a trend for higher seed yield and greater water use efficiency using the 75% plant density, meaning that growers can, you know, use 75%, which will save, you know, growers, you know, money, because seed is costly when it comes especially to hybrid. The same thing happened with the two row spacing. So they can choose whichever, you know, row spacing they want to use, which would fit their operation. And we look at also the first one is a crop water use, no difference between the varieties. The same thing happened with those two plant densities and row spacing. When we look at the water extraction, of course, hybrid had, you know, more greater water use efficiency than open pollinated. Hybrid tend to be more vigorous. That is why we had more yield than open pollinated. We had also looked at the harvest index. No difference between those two varieties, and the same thing with the plant density and row spacing. Even though you can see a trend for hybrid to have more harvest index, which was expected. And we look at also the seed oil content, and the upper one is the seed yield. Seed yield was different between the varieties, hybrids having, you know, more oil seed, oil yield than open pollinated. That was not because of the seed oil content, because no difference between the varieties. That was because of the seed yield difference I talked earlier. And when it comes to plant density and row spacing, the same thing, no difference but between the two spacing. Again, the 75% plant density is good enough to give, you know, higher yield than the 100%. Just to conclude my presentation, hybrid gave more seed yield than open pollinated by 11%. The same thing happened with water use efficiency. And no effect of plant density and row spacing was shown on those measured variables. So it means growers can take advantage of the hybrid to get higher, you know, crop water productivity just by using 75% of the plant density. And row spacing, he can or she can choose whichever row spacing can fit their operation. And I can say canola is a potential crop for diversifying the cereal-based cropping system we have in the southern Great Plains, and they can make it successful as a whole. And these studies are underway in 2016-17, but it will require, you know, more research involving multiple varieties to corroborate these findings. I would like to acknowledge the funding support we got from USDA NIFA and Ag Experiment Station of New Mexico State University, and also the following people for their help with the study. Thank you very much for listening.